Welcome to the Frisco Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ellis, and our guest this episode is Cindy Ash, who is running for City Council Place 4 in the runoff elections on June 18th. Cindy, welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet. Thank you for coming out on a rainy day.
It was a little drizzly and damp today.
Yeah, I think by the time people hear this, it'll be cleared up, but that's okay.
It should be great.
So you're running for City Council Place 4.
I am.
They have gone to a runoff election.
Yes.
That means basically that in the first round, nobody got 50% plus one vote.
Correct.
So the top two vote getters are now running in the runoff on June 18th.
Yes, it's kind of like Groundhog Day. We keep doing the same thing over and over.
I'll bet you guys were ready for that to be over.
We are ready to be done. We really are.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about how long you've been in Frisco, your history here, and what made you want to run for City Council.
Okay. My husband and I moved here in 2002, so we've been here, it'll be 14 years in June. Actually, we moved from Dallas. We were looking for a place that had a different quality of life than Dallas. We got concerned about, you know, just some of the things in Dallas. My husband's a Dallas boy. I grew up in Austin, so we're Texas natives. But Dallas was, getting a little too crowded. We're concerned about some of the crime going on in our neighborhood, even though we lived in a great neighborhood. So we looked for a neighborhood, and we found Frisco, and we fell in love with it from the very first time we came.
So you've been here for a big chunk of the growth that has happened. You've seen this thing blow up a lot since 2002.
We really have. When we first moved to Frisco, some of the biggest problems we had were tumbleweeds in our yard, being the weeds that we had to deal with, and coyotes, being afraid that a coyote would get our dog in the backyard or something like that. And a grocery store. We didn't have a grocery store very close by, just one on Preston Road. And now, there's things everywhere. It's just amazing to see the amount of growth that's happened in the city.
Yeah, and it's been fun to watch in a lot of ways, but it comes with its own challenges as well. So I think that's a good first City Council question for you. One of the challenges that Frisco faces is the explosive growth that's happening right now. What do you see as some of the maybe sub-challenges associated with that, and how do you think we should go about addressing some of those things?
You know, I'm so glad that you asked that, because that's one of the things that kind of drove us into the race, is making sure that we had smart, really balanced growth. One of the things that a number of folks had asked me to check into was the number of apartments that are being built. And so went and looked at the city's comprehensive plan, and the newest plan, the 2015 plan, has about 65,000 urban living and multifamily apartment units that are planned. And what we see right now in Frisco is between the 2,200 and 11,000 units that they say are in the pipeline. And so that'd be six times what you see today. If we follow that track, that'd have 37% of our citizens living in multifamily housing or urban living apartment, very dense style apartments. So that's going to bring it's going to bring even greater traffic. We hope that it won't bring greater crime or anything like that. But, you know, dense housing does kind of have the connotation of having some issues like that.
Right, right. Well, I didn't realize that the plan was for quite that many apartments. I know when I first moved to Frisco in 2004, apartments were fairly scarce. If you wanted to live in an apartment, or if you needed one for a transition, you didn't have very many options.
Right.
But yeah, now it seems like there are a lot more of them going up, and a significantly greater number that are going to be coming in the future.
Right. And I don't want anybody to think that, you know, I'm negative on people that live in apartments. My husband and I both lived in apartments. I lived in an apartment till we got married when I was almost 37. So, you know, they have a great place. I think the issue is making sure that we do smart planning and we don't overgrow that particular component in our city. And it's interesting because some of the citizens in Plano, I don't know if you saw this or read this just the other day, filed suit against their city for approving their comprehensive plan because it has too many apartments.
Hmm.
And they're very concerned about that. And I think the citizens of Frisco should be concerned about that as well. We are doing great things in this city, and we have greater things left to do, greater things that, you know, to be. And I'm not sure that too many apartments fits in that plan.
Okay, that makes sense. What are some of the other ways that you have been involved in the city of Frisco? What are some of the other things that you do that maybe cue you up to be a good city council person?
Okay. I started off, as soon as we got here, getting involved in my own community, and I became a village rep for our homeowners association and did that for several years. Then I had twins. And so any mom who's had twins knows that you're going to take a couple of years off for to do that. So we took a couple years off, and then I got back involved in that homeowners association and finally served on that board for about 4 years, first as treasurer and then 3 years as president. Along the way, I've been pretty active in Republican Party politics have been a delegate. Well, I've served as a precinct chair when I lived on the Denton County side of Frisco. We moved six blocks and ended up on the Collin County side of Frisco. I have been not only a precinct chair, but a delegate to all the state conventions since 2004 when I was pregnant with those twins. And just making sure that we get really great quality people elected in the state, in the local level, from, you know, all the way from city council on up to governor is really, really important. A lot of times people think that, you know, the big issues in states don't affect us here in the local level, but they do. And so it's so important that we get good quality leaders elected. My professional background is as a nurse. I've been a nurse for 30 years.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. It doesn't seem like 30 years. I don't feel like it should be 30 years. I thought people that had been a nurse for 30 years, you know, could hardly walk. And and some days I feel that way. But I've been a nurse for 30 years, and the majority of my career I spent in emergency management and trauma. So I feel like I have a very good background for making sure that we address public safety issues. I don't think there's anybody on the council that has that kind of background. We have realtors, we have business people, but I don't think that we have anybody that can really truly address public safety from a standpoint of planning community-wide disaster drills and managing community disasters and, everything from communicable diseases, from Zika virus, Ebola, to, you know, all the terrorist attacks, all those kinds of things. And I have a background in that, and I think that's something unique that can be brought to the city.
It is, and those are the things that oftentimes people don't necessarily want or like to think about, but when the time comes, we are certainly glad that somebody did think about how to address those issues or respond to those kinds of emergencies. So
it's so true. One of the things that I learned in my career is it's really about planning, and it's really about strategic planning and making sure that you address possibilities and you have the resources to deal with things that you never want to have happen. But you need to make sure that you got the resources to deal with them just in case.
Yeah. So any other issues specific to Frisco, any other maybe hot button items right now, things that are on your mind that are motivating you to run for city council, things that you would like to also address?
There's two of them. One was an issue before, when I got into the race, and one of them has just popped up just in the last couple of weeks. The one that has been an issue and is really significant is property taxes. And I know that our homeowners got their property tax assessment valuations just in the last couple of weeks. And because Frisco is doing so well and our growth is so great and it's such a desirable place to live, all of our property valuations have just increased astronomically.
Yeah, they've skyrocketed for a lot of people.
Just through the roof. And that's great if you want to sell your home. But if you want to stay in your home and then you have to pay that property tax burden, that's a concern. So that's one of the reasons why I got into the race. Another one, to make sure that, you know, our motto for our campaign is keeping Frisco families first. We want to make sure that we don't price ourselves out of the market so that families say, you know what, I can't afford to live here anymore. I'm going to have to sell my home and move. That's not what any of us moved to Frisco for.
Yeah.
Our city council has done a good job maintaining the tax rate. They've not increased it. In fact, over the last couple of years, they actually dropped it slightly. We can do that again. We can drop it again to give our citizens property tax relief. I'm honored to say that I'm the only candidate in place four that not only applied, but was endorsed by Texans for Fiscal Responsibility. I don't think my opponent even sought that endorsement. And you know, the concern I have is that we make sure that that is something that our citizens know, and that they have a champion that's going to try and help keep as much money as possible in their pocketbook.
I'm sure there are a lot of people that like the idea of lowering property tax rates, because home valuations are probably not going back in the other direction anytime soon, and we don't necessarily want them to, but that was my next question, is then how do you moderate the tax burden?
Right.
Tax rate is the only thing I can think of. But, is there anything else that the city can do?
Well, the first and best thing, and the thing that the council can do directly, is to drop that tax rate.
Okay.
And I had a chance to visit with Senator Van Taylor not long ago, and if local municipalities don't do that, then the state is going to take action, and they're already talking about that with the upcoming session of the legislature in 17. They're already planning to take action to try and put the lid on property taxes. That's not always the best way to make things happen. If you can get local leaders to do it at a local level, it's a much better plan, because sometimes you have the risk of unintended consequences. Mm-hmm. You know, when sometimes the best legislation is no legislation. So that's the first thing. The second thing is to increase our business growth. And that's very near and dear to my heart. I have a business degree as well as a nursing degree. And, you know, business truly is the engine of our economy here in Frisco. So the more businesses we can bring in, you know, Texas is a great business climate.
Yeah.
Because of our low tax rates and our right to work state and, you know, a number of those reasons. And businesses are flocking to Texas to leave the burdens, you know, that we see by regulations in other states. They're just coming here in droves. Frisco is a great place for those places to relocate to. And, you know, if we can encourage business growth to help share that tax burden, that's also another thing that we can do here in Frisco.
Okay, very good. I think those are definitely issues that are going to be on people's minds as they head back out to the polls. We've been advocates for a long time of encouraging people to get out and vote in the local elections as much as possible. I think we saw in the regular elections that happened back in May that there were about, I think we did a real rough calculation, but it was about 10.8% of the voting age population actually came out to vote in that election, which means, and not all of those are necessarily registered voters. So if you were to look at just registered voters, that percentage would be even higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's abnormally high for what we see in local elections. I think in many years past, we've seen 2% and 3%. So I want to encourage people, you know, when the runoffs come around, get out and vote. The local elections, in my opinion, matter more than the big national ones that everybody focuses on. This affects your day-to-day life and the people that are making decisions about your day-to-day life and where you live more directly than anything else you're going to do. There's no electoral college between you and the people that are voting for you.
Nope.
So every vote really does count, and you're going to make decisions that are going to impact them daily. So
that's so true, and I'm so glad you brought that up. You know, like I was saying before, there are significant issues right here in Frisco. One of them just popped up just recently over on the west side, and that's the building of an Encore substation on Legacy Drive across the street from two schools and right next to homes. And citizens are very, very concerned about that. The people that they elect to the next city council will probably be the people that are the ones that get to say yay or nay on whether that substation is built. And not only that, so that's a health and safety issue, like we were speaking about before. Not only that, but these things are guaranteed with the growth that we have going on. They're guaranteed to continue to happen. So we need folks of, you know, integrity, who pledge transparency, that you can reach, you know, get in touch with. You know, it's hard to get in touch with your senator, but you can get in touch with your council person, you know. And on my business cards, I have my personal cell phone that I pass out to voters, so they can get in touch with me anytime.
Good. Well, I hope your phone's not blowing up too much.
Not yet. Maybe not after yet. This, we hope.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Okay.
So for those that haven't heard, though, let's just talk briefly about the Encore substation.
Okay.
Not everybody is familiar with what's going on there. So can you just talk a little bit about what that is and why it's a concern?
Okay. So Encore has proposed to build a power substation along the Legacy Corridor south of Main Street, north of the Lebanon intersection. It kind of curves around there. That this would be a very large power substation in this area. Encore did a presentation to an HOA, Cheyenne Crossing HOA, a few weeks ago, and that's how this issue became known. Someone from that HOA posted on the Nextdoor website that this substation was planned to be built there. Citizens were not aware of that, and a young lady by the name of Jamie Height, who's doing a tremendous job getting this issue out there, happened to read next door and found out about this. Did a little investigating to find out that this substation is planned. It's about 200 yards long. It's got 70-foot towers. Will have high transmission wires, high voltage transmission wires, and it is not being built to serve the needs of the folks in that immediate area. It is being built probably, ostensibly, we're not really sure even yet, to fulfill the needs, the power needs of the $5 billion mile and probably the Star, where the Cowboys are going to go in, and a lot of those big developments up there. The area where it's going to be built is an area that's actually served by CoServe electricity. So the folks in this area are especially concerned. The piece of land that it is proposed to be put on is zoned as a planned development, and a number of the citizens in that area had checked before they purchased their homes to find out what, you know, what was being planned for. You know, they didn't want to be living next door to a power station or, you know, some kind of industrial something. So they checked. So that's another reason why they're so concerned. I know that that's a concern to a number of parents whose children attend Allen Elementary. They're concerned about the electromagnetic transmissions that come from power wires. You know, we know scientifically that's inconclusive to say whether or not that contributes to things like childhood leukemia or, you know, anything else. But nonetheless, you know, in this day and time where everybody is doing everything they can to make sure they raise healthy kids, from organic food to, you know, limiting the amount of technology their kids have and use and spend time on, I know that those parents are, especially the ones whose children attend Allen Elementary and Legacy Christian Academy right there, concerned that they might have increased exposure to those, to those transmissions. In addition, it's a big concern for property owners and the values of their property. There is no doubt. Almost every realtor that you talk to says if your home is built right next to those transmission lines, it will decrease in value. You know, I think that's a concern. I think it's a concern for a number of those citizens. I was one of the very first people that, when I found out about it, I contacted Ms. Height and said, there is no reason, this does not need to be built here. So it's gone, it's had a public hearing that was kind of placed on the agenda accidentally, I think because of public outcry. The comment was made that it was placed on the agenda out of human error. The folks were not ready to address it, didn't have the information necessary to address it. But because they had been told the citizens they wanted to hear from them, citizens did have an opportunity last Tuesday evening to go and make their voices heard. Ms. Height did a great job speaking before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that's the first step. So the first step is that Planning and Zoning will get to rule on this. There are two documents before the Planning and Zoning. One is a specific use permit for the actual power substation itself, and one is a change in zoning that they would need to hear. And so I think that's kind of the background and the nuts and bolts of
it. Okay. Well, that's a great overview. Thank you very much for that.
You're welcome.
I think that was, I learned a few additional things I hadn't heard about along the way there, so I appreciate that. Well, Cindy, thank you very much for joining us today. Really appreciate you coming out on a wet and rainy day. And we want to wish you well in the upcoming runoff election. That is, again, on Saturday, June 18th. So if you went out and voted the first time, get back out there. Do it again. It's a super quick, easy process. I've never had to stand in line for any length of time to vote in Frisco or anything like that. So just pop into the local local polling location for you and cast your vote.
Yeah, it'll probably take about 2 minutes this time.
Yeah, literally.
Probably will. Thank you so much for having me today.
All right. Thank you again, Cindy. Okay, we'll talk to you guys on the next episode of the Frisco Podcast.